everyone, and welcome to Hollywood Soup. This is Dizzy D, and thank you for tuning in to Penguin Radio to hear about entertainment news, celebrity gossip, new movie releases, and popular music. I have a lot of things in store for you today, including my segments called Movie Monday, True or False, Tunes Talk, and The Dirty Deets. So throughout the show today, I will be covering what artist got cut in their school choir, who loves hard, and what Kardashian is getting sued. So I hope that you are ready because I have an exciting show for you today. So I will now jump into my first segment, Movie Monday. So on Saturday, I went to go see the film Interstellar, which is directed and written by Christopher Nolan, who has also directed films such as The Dark Knight and Inception. And Interstellar is a science fiction action movie. So in the film, it is set in the future where Earth is no longer able to sustain human life and crops are routinely destroyed by dust storms, and a man named Cooper, who is played by Matthew McConaughey, is a former NASA pilot and engineer who becomes a farmer and lives with his father-in-law and his two kids. His daughter, Murph, believed that their house was a haunted house, and there was a ghost who moved her books in the bedroom, so she was kind of creeped out by this ghost that she thought was haunting their house. And Cooper and Murph were driving, and they stumbled upon coordinates for a secret NASA installation, and they were informed by a man named Professor Brand, who was played by Michael Caine, and he told them that there was a wormhole and that it had been discovered in a galaxy orbiting Saturn, which is humanity's only hope and chance for survival to discover this other galaxy. And Cooper is asked to pilot this spacecraft that is going to travel to discover this galaxy, which ultimately upsets Murph because he doesn't know when he will be back or if he will even be back at all. So they end on a pretty bad note, on some bad terms, and Cooper joins Professor Brand's daughter, Amelia, who is played by Anne Hathaway, and a couple of other members to cross over to this new galaxy. And that's pretty much the synopsis of the film. I don't want to spoil anything. And I have an interview from Anne Hathaway, and she describes the film, and I chose this interview because I think she is really passionate about this movie, and I think she is, I just like her voice. I think she's just amazing. So I'm going to play that for you right now.
What did you think when you first read the screenplay?
Well, I didn't think it was a science fiction film. I thought, wow, this is an astonishingly ambitious and potentially wonderful film. I thought the screenplay was incredible. And so incredible that I forgot to focus on my character. And I just thought, oh, wait a minute, who is she? Who is she? I'm supposed to give Chris an answer about this. I loved what the movie was about. I loved that it... And you know what else I loved about the movie? I love that it trusts in the intelligence of its audience, you know? It's a challenging film. It's challenging I think it's going to be challenging intellectually, but it's also challenging emotionally. And so far, all the reports that we've gotten back are that people feel transported by the journey. They feel opened because of it. And people seem to be responding to the film, which is great because that's the way I felt when I first read it.
Let's talk about your character. Who is she and what's going on when we first meet her?
I play Amelia Brand, and I can't tell you anything about her because it would give away. I play an astrobiologist. I'm allowed to talk about that, and I am part of the mission to save mankind, but I can't tell you what from what or where we're going or anything else about it.
Well, this is very secretive
It is. It's a very... Well, we're trying to protect people's ability to enjoy the film.
Well, let's talk about your co-star.
Yes.
Matthew McConaughey.
Let's talk about Matthew. Everybody wants to talk about Matthew. Let's do it.
Well, what's it like working with him? I mean, it is a big. You have a lot of these scenes together.
I had a great time working with him as a person, and as an actor. You know, he cares about what he does so much, and he's got an intensity to him as an actor, which I respond to because it's the way I like to do things. But he also, you know, in between shots, tells stories, and he's got some amazing stories. You know, he's a person who's really lived his life. And I started off the film with a great sense of admiration for him, and honestly, it increased every single day. And to the point where now he's just one of my favorite people. I'm a big believer in Matthew McConaughey.
How did you go about preparing for this role?
How did I go about? I mean, I looked at the film and I looked at the lines that I had in it, a lot of which were science-based, and I just thought, okay, you have to understand what it is that you're saying to the best of your ability. So I just worked really hard at exploring the concepts. I thought about, because the movie's not really about her per se, even though she's a big part of the film, and she goes on an emotional journey, but that's not necessarily crucial to the film either, but I had to know what it was that I was doing. So I worked very hard in creating a backstory for her that would then inform my performance.
What about Chris Nolan? You've worked with him before.
I have worked with him before, yes.
What makes this man tick?
Well, I don't know. I would not presume to say that. He loves film. He's excellent at making great films. But I think the person that he is a father. You know, I think that's probably the most important thing to him. He's an amazing father. From as far as I can tell, he's a wonderful husband to his wife, Emma Thomas, who's also his producing partner. He's a deeply thinking, really compassionate human being. And that's not something you necessarily put together. A lot of times when people are deep thinkers, they can be intimidating or judgmental, or maybe they don't suffer fools gladly. Chris is a man of enormous patience, and I you know, in the beginning I was intimidated to go to him with problems with the character because I didn't want to bug him. But he's really not that sort of person. He's pretty approachable, as it turns out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
So, let me tell you how I thought of the film. I did enjoy the film. I thought it was a really interesting storyline, and I thought it was going to be similar to Gravity. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie before, but it starred Sandra Bullock, and I think George Clooney was in it too, but it came out last year, and I did think this movie, Interstellar, I thought it was a little too long. And it dragged out too long. I think it was 3 hours. And the only movie that can really keep my attention for 3 hours is Titanic, because that movie is... I'm going to talk about Titanic a little later, but that movie is pretty much as long as it gets for me. But I thought it was a really good storyline. I thought it was really interesting. I really liked the beginning and the ending. I thought both the beginning and the ending were very interesting and very cool. But Interstellar is just one of those movies that really makes you think. And I think I would enjoy the movie even more if I see it again, because I think if I rewatched it, I would have a better understanding. And I would, because there's a couple, not a couple, the whole movie is very complex. Like Anne Hathaway stated in her interview, it really makes you think emotionally and mentally. But because this movie is a lot about science, I'm not super into science. I don't know a lot about science. But if you're willing to spend your money and spend your time watching this movie, I would definitely recommend in seeing it. I would probably say wait a few months until it comes out on DVD, honestly, if you aren't super into seeing it. But people are talking about this film being nominated for Academy Awards. So, I mean, if you're a really big movie buff and you go to the movies often, I would say yes, I would definitely recommend this film. But I wouldn't say drop everything just to go see this movie. I mean, if you're interested in it, go see it. But yes, if you have the time and money, go see it. So that is my opinion. So that was Movie Monday. I hope you enjoyed it. Tune in next week on Penguin Radio to hear what movie I decide to go see, synopsize, and review. So when we come back, I will start my true or false segment, and we'll be back after this short break from Harley D.
Hey guys, Harley D here with your 3-minute break. 3 minutes of the wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started.
Last Tuesday, as votes were coming in, Roger Freeman, a first-term representative from Federal Way, a city between Seattle and Tacoma, Washington, had 53% of the vote, compared to 46.9% for his Republican challenger. It had looked like Freeman was headed for a re-election victory. This would have been great had Freeman still been alive. Roger Freeman died a week before election night after a battle with cancer. This is unprecedented, but if the deceased is elected, Democrats in the district will select 3 names for a temporary replacement, and the King Pierce County Councils will vote to appoint one of those candidates to the seat for 1 year. Britain's The Guardian reported in October that repairing the, quote, fashion holes in earlobes is one of the fastest growing cosmetic procedures in the UK, as millennial generation radicals tire of their half to three-quarter inch see-through lobes. Originally created by stretching the tissue, doctors charge up to $3,000 to remove the entire area around the hole and connect the healthy parts back so they can fuse together. When UK newspaper executive Rebecca Brooks was arrested in 2011 in the notorious News of the World phone hacking case, so was her husband Charles Brooks. As Rebecca was being arrested, Charles aroused suspicion by trying to hide his pornography collection in a parking garage. Brooks was taken into custody and was ultimately acquitted of doing any wrongdoing after convincing a jury that he is, quote, too stupid to have been part of such a complicated case. However, in October, when Charles petitioned under British acquittal rules to have his legal fees reimbursed, Judge John Saunders turned him down, citing Charles' admitted stupidity in causing prosecutors to suspect him in the first place. 93-year-old Ernest Angerly is the latest televangelist to see his empire challenged, following his July denial that he is homosexual and that he inappropriately touched some parishioners, as they have claimed. However, Angerly freely revealed an intense interest in vasectomies, that he had long encouraged his flock not to bring offspring into this troubled world. A once prominent insider said Angerly doesn't want people to have kids because it would take their time and money away from the church.
I'm Harley D signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
All right, welcome back to radio.dominican.edu. You are still listening to Hollywood Soup with Dizzy D. Now I'm going to move on to my next segment, True or False. I'm going to be sharing some facts. Some are true and some are false. So here is my first one. Was Shakira rejected from her school's choir? This is true. So even when the most accomplished, successful stars deal with rejection and harsh criticism, Shakira was a young girl with a huge dream of becoming a singer and dancer in her native Colombia. She was actually rejected from the choir at her Catholic school after her music teacher reportedly told her that her vibrato sounded too strong and that she sounded like a goat. So this singer, Shakira, went on to become one of the world's most popular performers, but she didn't let her teacher's brutal criticism get her down, and she relentlessly pursued her dream. She knew from a very young age that she wanted to perform, and she actually wrote her first song at the age of 8. So I thought that was pretty interesting. If you have a dream, stick with it like Shakira, even if someone tells you something very mean. Anyways, moving on. Did Russell Brand take $20 million from Katy Perry's fortune after their divorce? This is false. So when the couple finalized their divorce, Russell Brand reportedly didn't take a cent from Katy Perry's fortune. So Katy Perry earned $44 million between May 2010 and May 2011, and Russell Brand was legally entitled to $20 million of that. The couple got married in October of 2010, and they did not sign a prenup, meaning everything they earned during their 14-month in marriage is combined and half, and Russell Brand didn't take any of it. So I don't know why, but he didn't. He let Katy Perry have it all. So I thought that was a little interesting. So moving on, is there going to be a Taken 3 movie? This is true, but when actor Liam Neeson was asked after Taken 2 about the potential for another sequel in the Taken film franchise, he responded, "I don't think there'll be a Taken 3. She can't get taken again. This is just bad parenting." I thought that was kind of funny. But in late 2012, Taken 2 writers Luke Benson and Robert Mark Kamen said that Fox wanted them to do a third film, but it would have to go another direction. So Taken 3 is supposed to be released at the beginning of 2015, so we'll see that soon. But I saw the trailer for it when researching this little fun fact, and it's definitely taken a different route. I've seen the first Taken, I haven't seen the second, so I don't know. I didn't know it was based off the same thing. But the Taken 3 is definitely another direction. She doesn't get taken again, the girl, his daughter. So thought that was pretty interesting. So moving on, is Oprah Winfrey's real name Orpah? This is actually true. So her name was supposed to be Orpah after a biblical character from the Book of Ruth. And I actually have a clip of her talking about the confusion of her name, so let's listen.
I was born, as I said, in rural Mississippi in 1954, and I was born at home. And there were not a lot of educated people around, and my name had been chosen from the Bible. My Aunt Ida had chosen the name, but nobody really knew how to spell it. So it went down as Orpah on my birth certificate, but people didn't know how to pronounce it. So they put the P before the R in every place else other than the birth certificate. So on the birth certificate, it is Orpah, but then it got translated to Oprah, and so here we are. But that's great, because Oprah spells Harpo backwards. I don't know what else.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. I found that little clip and I thought it would be the perfect time to share it with you. So I didn't have to, you know, tell you. You can get it from the source. You can hear it from Oprah that her name on her birth certificate is Orpah. So that's pretty interesting. So moving on to my next question. Is there a connection between the movie Frozen and the movie Titanic? This is true. So this is funny because I was actually... Well, okay, Frozen and Titanic are probably my two favorite movies of all time. Two of my favorite movies of all time. And I was watching Titanic over the weekend, and when I was watching it, I noticed a little connection between the two movies that I've never noticed before. So, yes, obviously, both movies have something to do with ice. You know, Frozen is basically all about ice and cold and winter and... Elsa having magical frozen powers. And Titanic, there's a big iceberg that they run into. But do you remember in Titanic, in the beginning of the film, when Jack and his friend Fabrizio won tickets to go on the Titanic in a game of poker? Well, they were playing against two other men. And do you know what their names were? They briefly mention it in the movie. Well, their names were Olaf and Sven, and I don't know if any of you have watched Frozen, but the snowman is named Olaf, and the reindeer, I think he's a reindeer, right? his name's Sven. Isn't that so weird? I literally was watching it. And I was like, oh my God, that is so funny. And then I looked it up and then I found this connection. Obviously, there's a connection. There has to be. So anyways, I thought that was funny and I would share that with you. But anyways, moving on to my next question. Is Tom Cruise a priest? No, this is false. But he did go to seminary school to become a priest, or at least try to become a priest. So Tom Cruise gravitated towards a friendly priest who was recruiting students to attend St. Francis Seminary School in Cincinnati. And in the strict Franciscan seminary, students had to learn Latin, Greek, and German. They also had a drama club that Cruise joined for 2 years while he was there. And priests at the seminary have said that Tom Cruise decided to leave the school when his family relocated again to, well, they were relocating to New Jersey. But apparently one night, Tom Cruise and his friend Shane Dempler got this bright idea of stealing some liquor from their Franciscan fathers who were planning a celebration. And Shane Dempler sneaked into the room where the liquor was stored and threw bottle after bottle out the window to Tom Cruise waiting below. Shane Dempler stated, "The school wrote a letter to our parents saying they like both of us, but they prefer if we didn't return. So we weren't kicked out, we just preferred not to go." So, there you have it. Pretty funny if you ask me. But anyways, moving on to my next question. Did 2.8 million people in Britain and America write status updates about Kate and William's royal wedding? This is true. So Facebook calculated that 2.8 million people in Britain and America alone had written status updates about the royal wedding in the 24-hour period before the service began. Also, in the build-up to the service, Twitter users were posting 237 tweets every second about the royal wedding, and about 1,900 people were invited to the service at Westminster Abbey, most of whom were drawn from the couple's relatives and friends, along with 50 members of the royal family, 40 members of foreign royalty, and 200 politicians and diplomats, and 80 guests from the prince's charities. So, I, you know what? I actually didn't watch the wedding. I did not watch the wedding. I think my mom did, but I never watched it, and I don't know why. So, I can't really tell you much about that. Okay, moving on to my next question. Did Nicolas Cage buy a pet hippopotamus, and did he ever do mushrooms with his dog? This is false, but there's a but. Nicolas Cage actually claimed that he bought an octopus because it would help him with his acting, but unfortunately he had to say goodbye to his octopus for unknown reasons, and he was actually on David Letterman, and David Letterman asked Nicolas Cage if he ever drank beer in high school. Just a random, like, did you drink beer in high school? And Nicolas Cage goes on and says, "No, but I did keep a bag of mushrooms in my fridge." He's in high school, and I was like, what? Then he went on to say how his cat, Lewis, just adored these bag of mushrooms, and he said, "It was like catnip to him, so I thought, what the heck, I better do it with him. I remember lying in my bed for hours, and Lewis was on the deck across from my bed for hours, staring at each other, not moving, but he would stare at me, and I had no doubt that he was my brother." I think that's so weird. But it was funny when they were talking about it on Letterman. It was pretty funny. And yep, that's that. So, moving on to my next question. Is Rob Lowe deaf in his right ear? This is true, and it was actually because of a virus during infancy, and now he is deaf in his right ear. So, if you didn't know that, now you know. So, those are all my true or false stories I have for this week. I will be moving on to my third segment after the break. It is going to be Tunes Talk, so I'm now going to leave you with the song Love Me Harder by Ariana Grande. So stay tuned here on Penguin Radio.
Tell me something I need to know, then take my breath and never let it go. If you just let me invade your space, I'll take the pleasure, take it with the pain. And if in the moment I bite my lip, baby, in that moment you'll know this is something bigger than us and beyond bliss. Give me a reason to believe it. 'Cause if you
Welcome back to Hollywood Soup on radio.dominican.edu. This is Dizzy D, and now I'm going to jump into my third segment, Tunes Talk. You just heard the song Love Me Harder by Ariana Grande featuring The Weeknd, and I hope you know who Ariana Grande is because I have talked about her quite a few times on previous shows, but she, just to remind you, she is just a, not just, she is an American singer-songwriter who rose to fame being on the Nickelodeon TV show Sam and Cat, but then in 2013 she released her debut studio album Yours Truly with tracks including The Way and Baby I, and Ariana Grande released her newest album My Everything on August 25th with singles on it including Problem and Break Free, and I've said this before, but I think she's nothing but amazing. And a few weeks ago during my segment Tunes Talk, I spoke about her collaboration with Jessie J and Nicki Minaj, talking about their song Bang Bang. And I've been waiting to talk about this song, Love Me Harder. And I've been waiting because the music video just came out last week, and I've been waiting until that came out so I could talk about the music video as well. So, the song Love Me Harder was recorded on her second album, My Everything, and the song features Canadian recording artist The Weeknd. And this song is described as more of a darker R&B track, and it's kind of different than what Ariana Grande usually sings. And bringing that aspect up, I think it's really interesting how Ariana Grande is being portrayed now versus when she released her first album, Yours Truly. And I'll go into that a little more once I talk about the music video. But the two albums are very different. And she seems more, I don't know, she kind of seems like a different person too versus now than when her first album came out last year. But when she released her first album, she was very poppy and upbeat, and she had her signature hairdo, which she still has for the most part, which is always that half up, half down hairstyle. And she always wore the same type of outfit too, a crop top with more of a skater skirt. And if you don't know what I mean by skater skirt, it's more of a high-waisted skirt that kind of flares out when it goes down. But she had a signature style, being more of innocent and cute, and I don't know if a lot of people took her seriously because of her past being on Nickelodeon, being on a TV show. And I definitely parted from that way of thinking because her voice is ridiculous. It's beautiful. The runs that she can sing are just insane, and I think now people are starting to take her more seriously now that this album has come out because she has had so many number one hits. She, all of her songs are on the radio, Problem, Break Free, Bang Bang, and now Love Me Harder is skyrocketing too, so I don't know. She's starting to become a little more sexy, and now moving on to the music video, I'm going to talk more about that. I mean, the music video doesn't really have much of a storyline, but neither does the song. It really doesn't have that much of a storyline. It doesn't talk, I mean, it's not that much of a story, but Ariana Grande and The Weeknd are both in it, and the video was directed by Hannah Lux Davis, who also is the one who directed the music video for Bang Bang, and I talked about that a couple weeks ago. But the music video starts out with Ariana Grande in what looks to be like an abandoned room. She's in an abandoned room, sort of a spooky S to it, and she's sitting in this big chair, and the lighting of the video in the beginning was almost blue toned, and once the chorus started, the lightning became more of, it had more red undertones in it, so it kind of changed. And it pretty much throughout the whole entire video, Ariana Grande strikes some sexy poses. And I mean, I think it was necessary because of what the song was trying to say. I feel like if she didn't do that, I don't know what else I would expect out of a music video other than what the music video is, if that makes sense. But when The Weeknd came, when The Weeknd's verse came on, when it starts, he's standing alone in a room different from the one Ariana Grande's in, and there's more shadows and it's darker. And then during the bridge, they are joined together, facing back to back, and then the rest of the song pretty much flashes back and forth between the two of them, and then they have a moment of the two of them. So that's that, and I think, obviously, Ariana Grande looks amazing as always, but something looked different to me about her. She looked different to me for some reason, something about her face, I don't know. She just looked amazing. She looked flawless, and she wore a black bralette crop top thing with a high-waisted black tight longish skirt, and her hair was in her typical half up, half down look, because that's what she usually wears. But it was different because she had kind of bangs falling down. They weren't pulled back like they usually are. And I think it looked really good. And she also rocked some cat ears, which actually really, I really liked them for some reason. I'm honestly not a cat person. I I really hate cats. I'm just not a cat person. But the cat ears that she was wearing weren't, I don't know, they looked really good. And they weren't too much, if you know what I mean. And I don't know why I think they looked good. It was just, it looked like a simple headband with like the ears popping out. It was kind of subtle. It wasn't too much. And I thought it looked really, really good. And when I was researching about the song, about the music video, I found that they released a behind-the-scenes video while making the music video that was pretty cool. And Ariana Grande's brother, Frankie Grande, is in it for about 2 seconds. But if you remember me talking about him on Big Brother, he's one of my favorite house guests on Big Brother from last season. And he was in it for like 2 seconds. And I was like, oh my God, Frankie, you're amazing. I love the Grandes. I love their family. I wish I knew them. But anyways, Ariana Grande and The Weeknd performed this song on SNL at the end of September before the music video was released, and I thought it was really interesting because Ariana Grande wore a very similar outfit to what she wore in the music video, and it was a black crop top with a long black high-waisted skirt, almost exactly what she wore in the music video. And then she had her hair pulled back in a ponytail, but she was rocking those cat ears. So this outfit must have been planned like months in advance or something. But I think their voices really work good together. And I love Ariana Grande. And I'm seeing her in concert on April 12th in San Jose. So excited. I kind of want to go see The Weeknd live now. And I feel like he would really put on a great show. He sounded really good on Saturday Night Live, so maybe I'll look into that. But you know, okay, so a few weeks back, I talked about the song, what is it called? The song by Sam Smith, I'm Not the Only One. And I'm done talking about the song, but just keeping it into the Tunes Talk family, I was online and I found this cover that Sam Smith did of a Whitney Houston song. What is it called? I'm kind of just going on a limb here. What is it called? It's called How Well I Know. How Will I Know? Sam Smith, Whitney Houston cover. Go look it up because it is so good. Maybe I'll talk about it next week because I literally listened to it 15 times last night because it's just a beautiful song. And I was thinking of getting tickets to go see Sam Smith. I talked about it when I talked about him a few weeks ago, but he's going to be in San Francisco on January 31st. So I'm looking into that. So that's that. I don't know why I started talking about that. Random. But that was Tunes Talk. And when we come back, I will go into my last segment, The Dirty Deets. But we will be back after this message from Harley D on radio.dominican.edu. Stay tuned, guys.
Hey guys, Harley D here with your 3-minute break. 3 minutes of the wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started.
And now for some stupid criminals. 24-year-old John Warren Fletz and a buddy were charged with robbing 5 sunbathers in Dania Beach, Florida at gunpoint in October. Police quickly picked the 2 up after a report of 2 men walking around, one with a misunderstood tattoo in large letters across his forehead. 27-year-old Brandon Aaron was charged with statutory rape of a 15-year-old girl in Panama, Oklahoma in October. Initially, he denied having sex with her, but changed his story when the girl remembered that her attacker had the name of an ex-girlfriend tattooed on his penis, and Brandon did. Ramon Herrera of Albuquerque, New Mexico, thought he committed the perfect crime. Herrera broke into a house while the owners were out of town and took $250,000 worth of jewelry. Herrera would have been a rich man had he not forgotten to flush. Apparently, the 33-year-old relieved himself in the house bathroom and also drank a Coke from the fridge and left the can. Investigators say the DNA from the can and toilet matched Herrera, and he was booked into Bernalillo County Jail. Police came face-to-face with a wild boar after a burglar alarm sent them racing to a German hardware store early Wednesday. The animal apparently ran at full speed against the entrance door of the large do-it-yourself shop and broke through two glass doors, which triggered the alarm. After the manager opened the outlet's front doors, the animal escaped without taking anything and apparently unharmed. The owners of the store in Duhlenberg, Germany, estimated the damage at nearly $6,500. When a 10-year-old goldfish named George developed a tumor, its owners didn't just flush it down the toilet. George's owners decided to put him under the knife. The goldfish underwent surgery last week to remove a tumor protruding from the fish's head. The surgery was conducted by Dr. Tristan Rich, head of the Exotic and Wildlife Veterinary Team at Lort Smith Animal Hospital in Australia. To prepare for the surgery, Rich had George swim around in a bucket of water laced with anesthetic to knock him out. Rich removed the tumor and sealed the wound with 4 stitches. At the end of the surgery, George was given painkillers and put into a recovery unit, basically a bucket of regular water, where he started swimming soon afterwards. A spokesperson from Lawrence Smith said the surgery costs about $300, and despite how unusual it seems, it's not the first of its kind.
I'm Harley D. signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
You are still listening to Hollywood Soup on Penguin Radio. This is Dizzy D, and for my last segment for the day is The Dirty Deets. The Dirty Deets is your source of entertainment gossip from all over Hollywood. So let's get started, because there has been so much stuff going on last week and this weekend that I'm so excited. There's so many interesting stories that I have in store for you today. So let's get right into it. So last Thursday, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg answered multiple questions regarding the social media site during the company's first Q&A, and when asked about the movie The Social Network, which is a movie based on his life and how he created Facebook by an audience member, Mark Zuckerberg said, "Wow, I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about that movie in a while. I kind of blocked that one out. It was very interesting. It was a very interesting experience to watch a movie that was supposedly about my life, supposedly." And then he went on to say, "I think the reality is that writing a code and building a product and then building a company actually is not a glamorous enough to make a movie about it. So you can imagine that a whole lot of stuff they probably had to embellish and make up. If they were really making a movie, it would have been of me sitting at a computer coding for 2 hours straight, which probably would have not been good enough movie for, wait, I'm sorry, which probably would have just not have been a good of a movie for these guys. And I think I want to win an award and sell tickets. But there are some of the parts of the film that Zuckerberg kind of appreciated. He stated they went out of their way in the movie to try to get some interesting details correct, like the design of the office, but on the overarching plot in terms of why they were building Facebook to help connect the world or how we did, they just kind of made up a bunch of stuff that I found kind of hurtful. I take our mission really seriously. The thing that I found most interesting about the movie was that they kind of made up this whole plot line of how I somehow decided to create Facebook to, I think, attract girls. So I thought that was interesting. I actually talked about the Facebook Q&A on last week's Penguin Press Pass, and I thought it was cool that he answered all these different questions, especially about The Social Network. It's interesting to hear his point of view since the movie is based around him, but I guess he's not very happy with that. I don't know. It released a few years ago, so now he's coming out and saying how he really feels about it. So that's kind of interesting to me. But anyways, moving on to my next story. It's been about 3 months after Robin Williams was found dead in his home in Tiburon, and the Marin County Sheriff's Office and coroner have concluded their investigation into his death, and an extensive toxicology evaluation revealed that there was no alcohol or illicit drugs in his system at the time of his death. However, prescription medications were detected in therapeutic concentrations. His wife, Susan Schneider, shared, "Robin's sobriety was intact, and he was brave as he struggled with his own battles of depression, anxiety, as well as early stages of Parkinson's disease, which he was not yet ready to share publicly. It is our hope in the wake of Robin's tragic passing that others will find the strength to seek the care and support they need to treat whatever battles they are facing so they may feel less afraid." And I'm actually really happy that no alcohol or illicit drugs were found in his system, because I feel like that would have just made it so much harder for the family and the fans. I feel like that would have just been so devastating, but either way, it's devastating. I'm still really bummed that he is no longer with us. But moving on to something a little brighter. In the summer of 2016, The Hunger Games will debut as a stage show. According to a press release, innovative and immersive staging techniques will be utilized to bring Katniss to a brand new purpose-built theater in London next to Wembley Stadium. Award-winning Broadway producer Robin DeLaVenta is confirmed to be one of the show's producers. He stated, "I am thrilled to be partnering with an innovative next-generation studio like Lionsgate on a property that resonates so deeply with global audiences. The theater is fantastic medium to bring the many meaningful layers of Susan Collins' writings to life." And Lionsgate Chief Marketing Officer Tim Palin stated, "Robert DeLaVenta and the entire production team are the perfect partners for extending the Hunger Games franchise into a live theatrical experience. Their creative genius combined with the world-class production values and state-of-the-art technology will provide a uniquely immersive experience for fans around the world." So I think this will be so much fun. I don't know how it's going to be. I really like theater. I really like musical theater, and I'm excited. I can't wait until it comes to the United States and I'll be able to see it. It will just be so much fun. So I am definitely excited for that. So, moving on Thursday, AC/DC drummer Phil Rudd was accused of arranging two killings and was under the possession of drugs. He was charged with attempting to procure murder, which carries a maximum of 10 years in prison. Rudd was also charged with possessing methamphetamine and cannabis. Rudd was released on bail, and according to local media reports, the alleged plot targeted two other men, but Paul Maybe, Rudd's lawyer, stated that prosecutors in New Zealand, Tauranga District, formed the view that there was insufficient evidence to justify this charge, and that doesn't make sense. I mean, I don't really listen to AC/DC. I don't really know who Phil Rudd is, but if if he was attempting to kill two other people and he had drugs, he was in possession of drugs, how do they not have enough evidence? I don't get it. You know what I mean? Maybe not. I don't know. But anyways, that's that. Let's move on to something more that I'm interested in. So, pretty interesting to me. There is a possibility. I think it's actually a thing, but I'm just giving you the facts that I know. Khloe Kardashian and French Montana are getting back together, maybe. But when asked about these rumors at the Glendale Galleria, Khloe said, "We're hanging out. I don't know if there's a title on. I don't think there's a title on anything." And then she goes on to say, "I don't know what to say anymore because people go up and down in relationships. Sometimes you're there and sometimes you're not." And then she mentions that she's having fun and he was at Kendall's birthday party, but there's nothing concrete. But Khloe did post a few pictures, I think two, on Instagram, at least last night, for French Montana's birthday and for his actual birthday post, she captioned, "Happy birthday, baby boy. In only a short amount of time, we have created timeless memories. Happy birthday to a man who generally lives his life to the fullest." And then she quotes, "What's understood doesn't need to be explained." And then she says, "I can't wait to celebrate with you tonight. You deserve it." And the whole Kardashian clan was celebrating with him. And Kim posted pictures of him, like, wishing him a happy birthday. Kylie, I think, posted pictures. So they were all celebrating. They were having a lovely time. So I don't know. It kind of seems like they're getting back together, but she's just not saying anything because she doesn't want to, like, jinx anything. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if you all saw last night's Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It's Kourtney and Khloe Take the Hamptons, but he was in it a little bit. But anyway, speaking of the Kardashians, 17-year-old Kylie Jenner, as well as her mother, Kris Jenner, are being sued by a Los Angeles woman who claims that she was severely hurt in a traffic collision that involved Kylie Jenner when she rear-ended another car over a year ago, back in 2013, and Alita Grisiel Palmol Rivera, I don't know how, I just butchered her name, but she is suing Kylie and Kris Jenner she's suing them for negligence. Well, she's suing Kylie for negligence, unsafe speed, and other causes of action. The accident occurred 2 weeks after Kylie passed her driving test and happened on a residential street. There was a total of 3 cars involved in the fender bender, and in documents, Rivera states that Kylie Jenner was driving at an unsafe speed that made it difficult for her to negotiate a safe stop when she reached the intersection, and she's suing Kris Jenner because she said, as the register owner, she is permitted and allowed Kylie to drive the car, and she should have known that Kylie was incompetent. And Rivera states that she suffered injuries to her body, both internally and externally. But when the car accident happened on August 28, 2013, over a year ago, officials said there were no injuries, nothing illegal or nothing unusual was happening. Information was exchanged between both parties involved. And then one of the parties, the third party, well, not the third party, both. So there was 3 people involved. They exchanged information. Someone left and before the sheriff's department got there. So I think that's a little fishy to me. I don't know why this lady is saying all this stuff now. I think it's completely unnecessary. I think she just wants the money because she knows that the Kardashians have money. So anyways, moving on to my next story. Disney chairman and CEO Bob Iger announced that on Thursday, Toy Story 4 is in the planning process, and John Lasseter, who directed the first Toy Story movie in 1995, stated that we love these characters so much and they are like family to us. We don't want to do anything with them unless it lives up to the surpasses what's gone before. Toy Story 3 ended Woody and Buzz stories with Andy so perfectly that for a long time we never talked about doing another Toy Story movie. And I found out that it's supposed to be released in 2017. They actually have a release date, June 16th, 2017. I'm sorry, I can't talk today, but I don't know. They just can't stop thinking about it apparently, and it's very exciting. And they knew that they had to make this. So I don't know. There's already three other movies, so we'll see what happens. Anyways, moving on to my next story. Netflix, I love Netflix, you guys know that, has acquired rights to produce a brand new original series based on Lemony Snicket's best-selling book series, A Series of Unfortunate Events. Netflix released a statement saying, "The world created by Lemony Snicket is unique, darkly funny, and relatable. We can't wait to bring it to life for Netflix members. Lemony Snicket also stated, I can't believe it. After years of providing top quality entertainment on demand, Netflix is risking its reputation and its success by associating itself with my dismaying and upsetting books. And I don't know if that's, I don't think that's true. I think, I honestly love the series of Unfortunate Events. I love that movie. I haven't read all the books because I think there's quite a few books, but I think it's an incredible story, and I am so excited that Netflix is doing this. I hope it's just as good or even better than the movie. I think it would make a great series, so I'm very, very excited. I don't know when this is coming out, but I'm pretty darn excited. So anyways, moving on. It seems like this is just a hot topic, maybe not so hot, but it never gets old. Amanda Bynes is, there's still stuff happening with her, and I don't know why. There's always something going on with her. But last week she announced that she has been diagnosed as bipolar and manic depressive and is taking medication. And she posted on Twitter, always posted on Twitter, I was diagnosed bipolar and manic depressive, so I'm on medication and I'm seeing my psychologist and psychiatrist weekly, so I'm fine. And then she said, I'm not living with my parents. I'm not legally obligated to. My lawyer said if I comply with the courts and I take my meds and see my psychologist and psychiatrist weekly, then I will get unconserved. Thank God. And then, She's just crazy. Her hair's purple now. Did you guys see that? She dyed her hair purple. I mean, I don't think that's weird, but I think she just, I don't know. I just can't keep up. I can keep up with the Kardashians, but I can't keep up with Amanda Bynes. There's literally, I've talked about her every day for the past 3 weeks. I mean, not every day. I mean, every radio show. But anyways, moving on. Last week, okay, this story pisses me off. Okay, so last week, Taylor Swift pulled all of her albums off of Spotify. And if you don't know what Spotify is, it's a music streaming service. You can, you know, get an account and you can pay for premium, which you can play any song you want, or, you know, no commercials or ads or anything, or you could just use it for free. But Spotify released this statement. We hope she'll change her mind and join us in building a new music economy that works for everyone. We believe fans should be able to listen to music whenever or wherever they want. And the artists have an absolute right to be paid for their work and protect from piracy. That's why we pay nearly 70% of our revenue back to the music community. And then Taylor Swift blamed the streaming services as one of the reasons her album sales have been so low in recent years. And she stated, in my opinion, the value of an album is and will continue to be based on the amount of heart and soul an artist has bled into the body of work and the financial value that artists and their labels place on their music when it goes out on the marketplace. Piracy, file sharing, and streaming have shrunk the numbers of paid albums sales drastically, and every artist has to handle this blow differently. And I think that this is absolute bull crap, because if I didn't have Spotify, I would just get my music off of the internet for free. I don't know. I think this is ridiculous. I think she is just lowering her sale because not as many people are going to be listening to her music, because all of my friends use Spotify. I don't buy any of my music on iTunes at all. So I think she is just hurting herself here, and I really don't like it. Anyways, that was the end of Dirty Deets, and I hope you all enjoyed this week's show. Tune in next Monday at 3 to hear who will be going deep in the boiling water on Hollywood Soup with me, Dizzy D, on Penguin Radio. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter. I'm so sorry. I'm just horrible at Twitter. I've never been a tweeter or a twatter, whatever it is. And I'll try to update you throughout the week. And I hope you guys aren't getting sick, because I think the bug is going around. I have the sniffles right now. I'm trying to keep myself in check. But FYI, I hate FYI. I hate that little saying. But for future, if you aren't getting sick, but you feel like you're getting sick, get a pack of emergency and mix it with coconut water. It will do you wonders. If you do that at night, wake up in the morning, you will feel great. So I think I need to do that after my class and, you know, get a little better. So I hope that you have a great rest of your week. And thank you so much for listening to Hollywood Soup on radio.dominican.edu. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye. You pat me on